How about now?
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Okay, we're gonna start. So my name's Andrew Klinik. I'm a lead program manager on the application platform team back at Redmond on the phone. And so I got the dubious task here. So I follow the keynote. I don't have Joe's hair, so my demos are pretty cool, but you know, they're not Skype, they're not Spotify, I don't have Angry Birds. But so my goal today is to give you a little bit more in depth about what we're doing with Windows Phone in the Mango release. And I think my talk, there's kind of two parts to my talk. There's my talk, and then there's some more sessions, some half an hour sessions, and then Istvan, who's our distinguished engineer, is gonna, so think of this as like a 100, 200 level introduction to give you an overall view of everything that's in Mango, a little bit more in depth than Joe's. And Istvan later on this afternoon will kind of go deep into the bowels of actually what we're doing. And if you really want to understand exactly what the CPU is doing when we're doing multitasking, then I recommend going to Istvan's session. So if you can, go to both sessions. So I'm not going to give you any marketing spin. You know, you've had all the marketing. So I'm just going to go into the major investment areas, and the slide is still in build mode. Look at that. I hate slide builds. Okay, so multitasking. Clearly, you know, hopefully you've all seen that now. I think, you know, one of the key things there is the ability to do, you know, with live agents, which is the combination of agents and live tiles, really. I think the Qantas app showed that pretty decently in terms of being able to really build new experience for multitasking. I mean, clearly background audio is great, and, you know, clearly lots of apps are going to do that. But unless you're a background audio app vendor, which is probably not most of you, it's how can we actually allow you to build multitasking applications that are going to be advantageous to you to build new experiences, but also from your users. We have enhanced framework, Silverlight XNA integration. I had to leave before Scott showed that, so I think he showed that. So integration with the phone, a major part of what we're trying to do. Performance, you saw some of the great stuff that the Compact Framework team have been doing in terms of some of those great demos that Scott was showing, where you know you just saw stuff just by running on Mango. You don't have to clear there's some stuff you can do to help with performance, but just by running your app on Mango, you're going to get considerable performance gains. Database access. I think this is number one. I think this lady here is going to tell me that was the number one thing. You know, we heard that a lot. So you know, there is. Quite on all these talks, I'm going to give you kind of high level, but there's a database access talk later this week from Sean McKenna, who's the guy who really understands all the databases. But so I'm not going to give you a database access demo or go into much detail on his, other than it's SQL Server and Link. It's a wonderful thing. So much as I love XML, having a real database is a great thing. So completing the push and tile experience. A lot of the feedback we got from V1 is like, hey, tiles and push are really cool, but you didn't really give us everything we wanted. So we really spent a lot of time to really enhance the tile experience. You saw a lot of that on the keynote. So you get access to be able to push things in the background. You can flip the tiles. And then from a push notification perspective, the ability to actually be able to deep link into it. And although it didn't quite work on stage, the Kick stuff works pretty decently there. And you know, the great thing about working with Kick is that literally last Thursday we said, well, it would be great if you used our new push notification service, and about 2 hours later they'd moved over because it's literally three lines of XML. So, you know, these Kick are clearly smarter than your average bear, but, you know, it's really pretty simple to be able to take advantage of that. And then finally, marketplace, you know, in terms of being able to sell your apps into markets you want. You notice we have Spotify, which is great. Big fan of Spotify. Not in the US yet, but hopefully soon. But you know, Spotify's from the Nordic region. It's a Scandinavian company. And whilst you know, clearly they could write an application on Windows Phone 7, they can't actually sell it in Scandinavia. So so being able to have that market, the access to considerably more marketplaces, allows you to hopefully make more money and your apps to be made available the places you need to be. And then finally, you know, sockets. You know, it's kind of one of those things you absolutely need to do, and it really enables. I'm not sure that the Windows Phone IRC chat is really going to be a hot seller, but you know, being able to take advantage of sockets and build the networking applications that you want to be able to do, without having to, you know, HTTP is great and it does a whole bunch of things, but really being able to enable the deep networking you want to be able to do. And you saw Skype, we're working with Skype earlier in terms of clearly voice over IP over HTTP, not really going to work that well. So being able to do that and really expand out the capabilities of your applications are available. So from a multitasking perspective, what are the key things? And I hope this came across this morning, but not every app needs to multitask. But if you think about it from a user perspective, fast app resume really gives the impression your application is running. The fact that you can move between applications and not have to worry about the dreaded resuming screen. Or, I'm sure that some of you have touched that search button when you're playing a game going, oh, great, now I have to wait 20 seconds to go back. So every application, so my advice to all of you here is that everybody should be doing fast application switching. It's really simple to do. The Adina, one of my colleagues, is going to be doing she has a great half an hour session, which is coming pretty much straight after this, well, after lunch, I think. But it really enables some great user scenarios and, think of it as that if you're going to take away one thing today is put fast app resume in your application. Everybody should do that. Background agents, some really interesting stuff here. Clearly audio is the most obvious one, but as Joe was showing, and as we're now, the combination of background agents and live tiles, this notion of live agents, of being able to have your small piece of your application actually running in the background. And this is kind of a unique feature to Windows Phone, the ability to really separate into your application and have generic kind of background agents doing whatever you want to be able to do. So some examples of that is if you want to keep your feed reader up to date, it would be really nice if my feed reader was, running every half an hour and just making sure that the feeds are up to date. Well, we have this notion of agents running on idle mode. So when I plug in my phone at night, it's fully charged, it's connected to Wi-Fi. Why shouldn't Kindle go and get all my books? Why shouldn't it go download all my podcasts so that when I pick it up in the morning, it's ready to go? So it enables you to build applications that can take advantage of the network and power status, but also be able to run in the background and give your users a much more kind of immediate, up-to-date application. And if you think about it, Glance and Go is a big thing that we're pushing for Windows Phone as a unique kind of value proposition to Windows Phone. And the fact that your application can now update itself in the background really helps with that Glance and Go nature. And when you combine that with live tiles, then you can really keep people up to date and understanding what they want to be able to do. Notifications, we didn't really show that much, but you can set an alarm, which is great. Clearly not just for alarm clocks, but I'm not sure, I didn't actually show, but the Qantas app, for example, you can set an alarm saying, okay, well, tell me 20 minutes before I actually have to leave, and it will pop up, which is, there's some significant things you can start doing there. And, you don't necessarily want all your alarms to go in the calendar. You don't want to take over the user's calendar, but being able to set an alarm based on what your application or what your users are doing. And the system will deal with that, and your application doesn't have to be running to deal with that. And then finally, background transfer service is a big part of that. If you're starting to do applications, or if you have a background agent, say you have an agent that that goes and checks some stuff, well, you're not always going to be able to get all the data that you want. So if you had, say, a video download app, and you want to go download 15 videos that might, could take an hour or so. The likelihood of your application still running for an hour is fairly slim. So all the background transfer service, you just put the request onto the background transfer service, and that takes care of all the ability to do all the downloads for you. So it's both power aware, battery aware, it's running, it's Microsoft written, it's, we have really extreme kind of focus on making sure that the battery life and power management really works well. So this is, it's aware of power, it's aware of whether you're on Wi-Fi or on 3G. So the great thing for you is you can kind of do a fire and forget, saying, okay, go download that 20 megabyte video. And it will go and do it in the background without your application having to be running. So great from a user perspective because those downloads happen in a timely manner and they use the best network connection for them. And great for you in that you don't have to worry about how you're going to be able to deal with that. It's really simple. You just add it to the queue and it just gets done. Multitasking actually has two great sessions coming later. So there's one later today from Darren Miller, which is going to go in-depth on all the capabilities. So imagine this slide actually done in about 40 slides. So really understanding how multitasking works. And then Peter Tor tomorrow morning is going to be, I think he has two slides in his thing, so he's going to be coding the whole thing, showing you how to build all these things. So it's I really recommend going to both of those if you care about multitasking, because you know, you'll be able to come away with that and really know everything you need to know to start going with multitasking. So when we say integrating the phone, what does that actually mean? I tried to take a look back and go, okay, well, look, you know, we've got 1,500 new APIs, 1,700, depending on which day of the week we looked, in terms of what are the major things you should think about and really understand what's there. So you saw at the keynote the camera. You know, the camera was great in Windows Phone 7. You know, we had some really great cameras on there, but you could just take photos. But you really want to be able to get at the complete camera pipeline. So the great thing that we provide here is that we give you access to the camera pipeline within managed code, but you can get the RGB or you can get the YUV, so you can really start to do some interesting stuff. So if you saw the layer demo earlier, clearly that's just doing a preview and overlaying graphics on top of that. So it's using the video brush, which is really kind of cute, but doesn't actually do anything with the video per se. But if you looked at the Amazon application, they built that barcode reader in, you know, I think one of our guys helped them out with that, but they built that barcode reader in about 2 or 3 days. And they're using the YUV direct from the camera to understand and get that real-time operation so that it can do the barcode scanning without having to take photos. There's a great session on camera and sensors later this week. And I don't want to steal his thunder, but you can go there and they have some great demos in terms of, you know, you saw that we had this motion sensor. They have a great demo where they're actually combining the camera with the motion sensor to give you kind of a steady cam. So there's some really interesting things, once you have access to the hardware, to really start building the applications that you want to do. And, you know, frankly, I'm perpetually surprised by what people do with the camera. I mean, barcodes are an obvious thing, but, you know, there is applications out there, not on our platform right now, but they're really, and we're working with some of these guys, that really do some amazing OCR, and it gives you the opportunity to take advantage of what you want to be able to do. So on sensors, on 7 we had GPS, we had accelerometer, nothing new really there. In Windows Phone 7 we had a compass, but you couldn't actually get to it, so fixing that. This is a big thing. And then on new Mango phones, we're introducing the ability to have a gyro. And the gyro really makes a big difference in terms of being able to really give you, you know, the amount of sensory kind of information that you want to be able to do. Accelerometer is pretty cool, but gyro, not just for games, it really gives you that smooth movement and really understanding where your application is in space. As Joe mentioned before, that's great, but it's some pretty scary math. I mean, I don't know about you, but I really didn't want to get the trig book out again. I kind of remember that at school, and that was fine for me. If you're into that, you can get to the sensors. But we have the spatial framework, which we're calling a motion sensor, which really pulls all that together so you can do it in one or two lines of code. And I'll show you a demo of that in a minute. Networking, sockets, clearly is the big one. But, you know, on a phone, you want to be network aware. So great, you want to open the socket and you want to be able to talk to your server. But you probably want to be able to determine whether I only want to do this on Wi-Fi. I want to make sure this is on 3G. So we have access to the connection manager on the phone so that you can say, okay, well, I only want my application to run on Wi-Fi. Or if I'm running on Wi-Fi, then I'll go download that big file. Or, you know, if you think about it, we're starting to work with Skype. Is, you know, think about voice over IP. If I'm running over Wi-Fi, then I'll go nuts and up my compression level so that I can have really great voice quality or video quality. But if I'm running on 3G, then I probably want to be able to adjust that. So you have control over that. SQL CE, from a data perspective, you have SQL and SQL and Link is a wonderful thing. One of the key things we got from data, though, is that, I mean, clearly you want to be able to store your own data, but there's an awful lot of data that you want to be able to integrate with on the phone, specifically contacts and calendar. So the ability to be able to get at contacts and calendar is a key thing that we've really done a lot of work on in Windows Phone 7. So we actually give you read-only access to the contacts and calendar, so you can quickly iterate through that, and you can use, it's IEnumerable, so you can do whatever takes your fancy in C#, whatever your data access technology you want to be able to do. But you know, the great thing here is that you can go and do that quickly and easily. And obviously, you know, the obvious question on this is like, well, okay, so why any read-only? And really, what we want to do here is ensure that if we're going to make access, give you access to the system, it's not going to get put the phone in an unfortunate state. So that, you know, if you start writing to the calendar, if it was a kind of complete rewrite, then you can get into an interesting spot. So what we've done is we've created the notion for launchers and choosers, which enables you to do some of these. So thinking about being able to add. So being able to add a contact, so that you can add a contact through that, so through your user experience, and which one makes the user experience great. But honestly, I'd like to think we all try and do the right thing with contacts. If I had an application that could just go and write into my contacts, is that really what I want it to be able to do? Do I want my phone being spammed? I don't think that's really what I want to be able to do. Whereas, you know, being able to, by using a user interface, then the user chooses, like, okay, well, I see what's going to go into my contacts. I'm going to click accept, or I can cancel that. You saw in the keynote, we have a much better Bing Maps launcher and chooser this time, in that you can do directions, and I think that are shown in the Qantas application. So you can easily just, you know, now create it and say, okay, give me directions from A to B. And it will do that, and it's, you know, literally kind of a line of code. So you get the full access to the Bing Maps and directions. So you get both the control, but also the chooser itself, so you can actually get the full Bing Maps experience. And then finally, on controls, hopefully you're all familiar that our controls are on Coplex today. Our goal there is to continue with that mechanism for two main reasons. One, it's open source, so that you can actually go see our controls. So if we, it's a great way to learn how to do some Silverlight. But you know, if you're really seeing performance problems and you really want to find out what on earth happened, then you can actually go look at the source of that control and understand where you want to be able to go, or frankly, go and subclass it and do whatever you want to be able to do. The second thing is that we also want to make sure that we can keep up to date. You know, if we ship controls on device, I think you all know that our track record for updating is not quite where we want it to be. So, but being able to update the controls on Coplex enables us to innovate and keep up to date a lot more quickly. And you've seen that already, hopefully, on Coplex today. And our goal is to continue moving forward on that. And performance is a big, big kind of thing that we're pushing on controls this time, and specifically on the list control, so that you get some great experiences from lists. So, what about that motion sensor thing? So I'm looking to my lovely cameraman who's over there in the corner. Now this is demoing a motion sensor on one of these guys. Doesn't really work that well because I can't move around. But so what I have here is, so this is a simple out of focus. It's a really nice light over here. You know, it's just very high resolution. Look at that. It's moving. Yeah, there we go. So we have a new projector. No, we don't have a projector. So so this is a simple XNA app that, you know, clearly looks a little bit like Seattle, and there's trees and stuff. But this is using the motion sensor. So you can notice when I'm moving up and down, I get, and side to side, I get the full experience of being able to deal with that. And the great thing here is that if you were going to do this and really understand where you were in time and space, there's math that wouldn't fit on this screen. So, but you know, for the motion controller, it's literally that, and just getting the coordinates from the motion controller and just adjusting my view just by responding to events from the motion controller. So, and look at that, we have power management too, so it turns off. So, you know, the key thing here is that, you know, from a motion sensor, I mean, this is a game kind of thing, but you know, think about if you were doing anything with a camera. Frankly, even just understanding where your user is, and think about, you know, what your application might want to know in terms of which way your user's heading, where they've been, that type of stuff. So motion sensor is pretty exciting from being able to deal with that. So what about the phone framework? So we have, you know, We have a pretty extensive phone framework in Windows Phone 7, but we wanted to expand out on our kind of key Windows Phone, unique to Windows Phone. So Tiles, hopefully everybody is using Tiles. I highly recommend that, you know, investing in Tiles is a great way for your application to get discovered. It's a great way for your user to really get into your application. And the ability to do multiple tiles is really, I mean, it sounds really simple, but I think you saw with the Amazon application today, it enables you to really start enabling your users to get to the place that they want to get to in your application. So that, and it takes away from this, like, okay, well, I can just start my application and think about the menu system. And, you know, your user can essentially can kind of favorite their particular part in your application. So that, you know, I'm not saying that Facebook is doing this, but, you know, I always want to go to the latest news feed. I would love it if I could just, you know, add that as a live tile, and it could give me the latest updates on that, and you can flip across that. So from your application, even if you never thought about using live tiles, think about it as a way to enable multiple ways for your user to get into your application. And, you know, we're already finding that users today are already putting lots of tiles, that they're pinning stuff onto the home screen, and this is a great way for you to be able to do that and really start building a signature experience around that. And frankly, you know, from a Microsoft perspective, is, you know, tiles are a big part of the kind of unique user experience for Windows Phone. And, you know, it's our job is to help you to be successful. And I would suggest that tile, you know, if you're doing a great job on tiles, it's going to be a lot easier for us to be able to get behind you and say, okay, well, look, you know, here's these great applications that are doing tiles. And there's actually some really interesting websites out there. There's a website out there that's like, find all the applications that are using push notifications and tiles, which was frankly a shock to us. So, but it's a great way to differentiate your application from maybe the guy sitting next to you, being able to take advantage of that. Now, push notifications, we have an interesting term for it in terms of being able to, this notion of deep toast. So in push notifications on Windows Phone 7, this is great. You can push a notification to your user. Your application doesn't have to be running. But, you know, when I clicked on that, so if I was running an IM application and I clicked on it, then all it would just take me to my IM application. Now you can put an argument on there and put whatever data that you want to be on that. So, for example, in the Kick application earlier, they put the conversation ID as their argument to their push notification. So when you tap on it, it can take you directly to that push note, to that conversation within the application. So when you think about being able to kind of deep link into your application, both from live tiles, being able to have multiple applications, but now also from push notifications, so that you can really start to give your users an integrated experience on the phone, and they don't have to worry about, well, I kind of have to go into the app and go three screens down to find to it. So they can, again, from a glance and go perspective, I see this thing, I just tap on it, and it takes me directly where I want it to go. So it's a significant thing that I highly recommend that everybody integrates into their application. Again, there's a complete session on tile and push notifications. A guy called Thomas Fennell, who's my colleague back in Redmond, he's really going to go into exactly all the details of how to build tiles, but also how to build push notifications. And what it means, and we get a lot of feedback, is like, wow, it's really complex. How do I have to build out push notifications? What about latency? How do I deal with all that? So we've done a lot of improvements there to make it a lot easier to deal with. And Thomas will show you exactly what to do and the code from a push and tile perspective. Now, finally, on the framework, this notion of extras. Now, this is something which I don't think we did a particularly good job of explaining to people what extras meant on the phone. We introduced some of this in 7. In 7, you could do music extras and photo extras. But extras really enable you to integrate your application into some of the core Microsoft experiences. So if you're using photos on your device, then you're going to be in the photos experience. Well, if you're, you know, a photo editing application, you want to be right there when the user's editing that photo, so, or they're looking at that photo. So you can link directly to that. So think about this as another way that you can deep link into your application but provide context from a Microsoft experience. So for music, I can provide context in terms of what track I'm also currently playing. But if I was on music, then I can actually get, it was like, okay, well, this is the track that you were actually, you know, go find out some more information about that. Likewise on photos. If I'm looking at a photo, I can pull up extras, and then I can launch your particular application in the extras, and it will actually get the photo that the user was using and pass it directly into your application. So the great thing there from a user perspective is you don't have to go and find out all about, you know, I remember I was using that photo and where was I? So they keep context, and it makes it simple for them to flow from the Microsoft experience into your experience. And that's one of the key notions of Metro, is to provide this framework so that you can build this extensible user experience and build your application into it so that the user should be using your application. Clearly, it's going to look like your application, but this is common language that permeates throughout the phone, so they don't have to go learn a whole new experience, and it should feel like a completely integrated experience. And then, you know, today we're announcing search extras, which is pretty intriguing to be able what you can do. And then Joe showed you earlier how we got IMDb working with that, and then that's pretty interesting. And I just wanted to go briefly into what does it take to actually build one of these search extras? Is it a significant change to what you have to do? So I can add functionality, provide these third-party applications into the Bing experience. I can do it on movies. I can do it on places, which is essentially restaurants, think of it that type of scenario, events coming up, but also products. So if I did a search for a Sony TV and it brings up, you know, information about that particular Sony TV, wouldn't it be great if you were, you know, a shopping app that you could get that exact Sony TV so that you could link into your application and provide that context without them having to go search again in your application? So, you know, there's a search button right on the front of the phone. Bing is clearly a significant investment from Microsoft, and we've done a lot of investments to make that a lot better, and we're not announcing there's some really cool stuff coming that will be announced a little bit later in terms of making the Bing experience really, really key. All I can say is that, you know, this is a significant investment in Mango that you really want to start to get involved in and kind of ride the wave of Microsoft doing this huge investment and push on Bing and being able to extend your application to get into that. So what do you have to do? Do you have to write any code? Well, not really. You just have to update your application manifest. So you use the extensions element, and then you put the categories that you want your application to be in. So that's pretty simple. You're just metadata editing at that time. And then you put, you know, the extras XML app into your actual Zap, and that specifies the captions that you're going to show in each Bing category. And then finally, you're gonna write a page inside of your application that is actually the destination for that search extra. So it's going to accept the parameters that come from that. So if you're doing, you know, the IMDb application, there's like, you know, Joe, I think he searched for source code. That's the parameter that comes across. So you just take that parameter, do whatever you need to do, and provide that in it's just a plain old Silverlight application from there on. So it's really, really pretty simple. It's just passing a parameter. Just think of it as a different entry point into your application, and we pass the context, be it a movie, be it the product name, so you can go then build that into your application and extend the existing framework and user experience that's on the phone. So what about Silverlight? So we kind of... I know that Scott went over this a little bit earlier, but you know, we underplay it a little bit. This Silverlight 4 coming to the phone is a significant investment, and just to give you some idea, is that, you know, taking Silverlight from the desktop and just putting it on the phone doesn't really work. So we have a whole Silverlight mobile team who's done incredible work to really optimize this for the phone and really taking advantage of all the ARM instruction sets and really thinking about it. So, well, okay, well, allocating a bunch of memory to get performance is great on the desktop, not really what you want to do on the phone. So done an awful lot of work behind the scenes to enable you to do Silverlight 4. Now, I mean, that's kind of interesting to know what they've done, but, you know, from your perspective, it now means that you can use all the Silverlight 4 capabilities that you have on the desktop. You can now use those on device. And I've just picked out a few that I think make sense. There's a whole Silverlight 4, there's a whole Silverlight session from Sean Oster, who's the lead PM for Silverlight, So if you're, you know, if you're really into Silverlight, I recommend going to that. But a couple of things that really kind of struck out to me, the rich text box. It's like, you know, the text box is fine, but if you really want to, you know, if you want to start building a blogging site or anything where you really want to do some better than basic text entry, rich text box is key to be able to do that. Implicit styles really helps you to build your application and thinking about, you know, so you can have like a framework so you can style all the way through. And, you know, it was one of the big things that is like, well, Silverlight 3 is like, well, I'm used to doing this on 4. How is this going to work? And you have to do a lot of work around that in Silverlight 3. So, you know, implicit styles really enables you to streamline your application and take advantage of a lot of the cool things that is in XAML and really build that from your phone. And then finally, you know, we introduced Clipboard API that some of you got on an update and hopefully soon on Nodo. But there was no programmatic access to that. So you could get it in the text box, and that was about it. So we're providing a Clipboard API now so that you can start building it into your application, to your custom controls, so that you can start being able to take advantage of that for within your applications. So this will really enable you to, you know, really partake in all the Clipboard enhancements that we've done in Nodo, but also in Mango, up and coming. From a memory management perspective, you know, I discussed how much they've done a lot of work to ensure that, you know, that they're as memory efficient as they can be. And you saw, Scott already showed that. I think he showed the Facebook application where it was like, I think it was 38 megabytes on you know, the current Windows Phone 7 down to 28 megs just by running the application. So, you know, this is really going to help you, especially if you're kind of reaching the limit of, you know, what of how much memory your app, you know, is a kind of 90 meg limit. And, you know, it's pretty challenging when you're up there. And, you know, memory management is not just something you can just kind of go flip on and it's like, okay, I'm going to suddenly use less memory. So this is going to help you just by kind of lower the bar a little bit. And then you also saw the input on the render thread. I think Scott was also showing that, is that now I want to be able to, you know, keep my input on the render thread and go off and do whatever I want to be doing, downloading my RSS feed, and so that the user experience continues even though I'm off doing whatever I need to go do asynchronously in the background. And then finally, you know, this is a little line item, but, you know, you saw the profiler. The profiler is gold in understanding how your application can work, and there's a whole bunch of work, and Vibor is going to show you some more stuff on the profiler, but in terms of visually profiling your Silverlight application and really understanding what's going on. So there's amazing depth to be able to understand what your application can do there. And then finally, I'm guessing you're not all from the US, so I hope you're not all from the US. Being able to write your application to really take advantage of all these new marketplaces and languages that we're going to be able to sell to. This is especially big deal if you're writing an application for Asia or it's not using a Western alphabet. So that, you know, they now have full support for Far East, both from an IME, so from Chinese, Japanese, Korean, but also think about from a BiDi perspective, being able to read the BiDi. So if you're selling to some countries that are using Arabic or Hebrew, being able to understand that and really start thinking about what it takes to be a global application. And just simple things is like, well, hey, I'm writing a Twitter client. Well, you know, I was following the tweets today in the keynote, and there was at least 20 Russian and, like, you know, there's a couple of Korean tweets in that. And so that whilst you might not be thinking your applications really has to care about international markets, the fact that we're all getting data from across the world now and being able to display that to your users really makes sense. So, Silverlight and XNA in the same app. I mean, I like to think this is kind of the final new project problem. So today in 7, it's like, well, if, you know, I start my application and, you know, then you can imagine, you know, the product guy comes in like a week to go and is like, well, I really want a 3D globe in that. And I'm like, oh, no. So I kind of have to, right now, I have to kind of start again, go back, write it as XNA, and it's like, well, if I write it as XNA, then how do I do a panorama? How do I deal with text input? How do I deal with all that stuff? Just a nightmare being able to do that. So Silverlight and XNA integration just enables a whole bunch of things. So I'm going to show some demos on this, which makes it a little bit easier to understand. Again, there is a whole session on Silverlight an XNA later this week that I highly recommend you go to, even if frankly you don't think you're going to use XNA. So I'm going to show you. So here I have. So this is a Silverlight and XNA application. So I mean, clearly the tank is done in XNA. I hope that's showing up okay. And then on top of that, I have some Silverlight. So I just have Silverlight buttons that and text that I just want to be able to take advantage of. So I can. And I think there we go. So so just simple things like if I wanted to add a text box to XNA today. It's really incredibly difficult to be able to do. And then getting the SIP to integrate. Now, from English, that makes sense. But if I wanted the Japanese SIP to show up there, just, you know, just, well, frankly, impossible. Or if I wanted the, if I wanted to use the browser, if I wanted to use any of the controls that are available from Silverlight. So the Silverlight and XNA integration enables you to do two main things. One is you can, in this case, you can overlay Silverlight and XNA, so you can use the best of both worlds, really, from that perspective. But you can also build it such that you can keep your XNA application. So think about if you're writing a game, is that when you're actually playing the game, you probably don't want Silverlight on top of it. You want your game to be showing through. But if you're writing a high score table or a menu, do you really want to do that in XNA? Probably not. So you can have one page in Silverlight and then just switch to XNA and switch back and forth from that perspective. So that's pretty cool. So but I can go for a free spin here. If I get a free spin, then I'm actually capturing this, and it's like, well, okay. So why is this a big deal? Well, the gesture capture here is all done in Silverlight and passing directly through to XNA. So you see from a performance perspective that there's a slight performance hit if I was going to do this in XNA, direct XNA, but it's so much easier to do in Silverlight to be able to deal with that. So I can click back. Well, then if I want to go edit this guy, so let's see. I want to click on animation. And again, I can use all the controls that are available to me to Silverlight and just overlay them. So, I really, that tank hatch animation is pretty boring and I don't want that. But if I want my wheels to go, so the key thing here is that you develop in Silverlight and you can easily just move across into XNA. Now, I'm not going to lie, building this tank is not particularly easy. It still requires some 3D. So, and to give you some kind of idea, is like, I don't want the texture, and I want it in wireframe. So you still have to be pretty decent understanding what it takes to do 3D to be able to do that. But you can now build the two applications together and really, really take advantage of the two, and start building applications that you don't have to. You're not limited by what we decided was the particular framework that you have to go use. So one of the examples I use is an iPhone application, which is the Ocarina application, which is this kind of flute that you could blow on. And it's great. You imagine devs is like, oh well, I can blow on the microphone and play a flute. That's cool. And then you can really imagine like the last week, and it's like, well, wouldn't it be great if we could hear all those guys around the world, and like they have to put a 3D globe in that, and then you can hear all these people playing. Those are the types of things that we're hoping and seeing already in terms of people building applications that we frankly never even imagined would come on. On a phone. So the goal is with Silverlight and XNA is to really provide you with all the toolkit to go build the great applications and frankly shock us every week. I think one of the takeaways is attempt to shock us. I mean, we're forever, there's 12,500 apps. We look at a whole bunch of them on our team. So really, really, push the boundaries of what we can do. We'd love to hear what you're planning to do, and frankly, we think we've enabled a whole bunch of scenarios, but what have we done? What do we still need to do to make this better? So there's a whole session on Silverlight and XNA that is later this week, actually on Thursday, from a guy called Brian Hudson. They'll really show you all this in all its glory and how to build that. And he'll show you how to build that tank application. So that rather than me sit through with code and trying to pretend I actually understand how to do the 3D animations, Brian does. So and being able to understand that and how to build that in your application. So I'm going to briefly go over tools. I think Scott did a great job of showing that. Again, the disadvantage of coming after the great keynote. So there's a whole bunch of templates in terms of multitasking. It's like, well, if I want to create a background agent, shouldn't there be a template so I can actually go create one of those things? Being able to debug background agents. If you think about it today, if I press F5, it launches my application. Well, if my background agent's meant to be running every 30 minutes, then am I really going to have to wait 30 minutes to be able to debug my application? Or what does it mean if I really want to set the breakpoint in a background agent rather than the front? Thing they didn't show today, which I think is, you know, aside from all the great things, is probably the single most important thing in terms of the developer productivity, is Isolated Storage Explorer. Any of you using Isolated Storage, which is, I assume, most of you, is that I'm sure you've all written this code now, is that you have to write code in your application so you can actually test to get some stuff into Isolated Storage so you can understand what's going on. So Isolated Storage Explorer allows you from inside Visual Studio to be able to go and see what's in the Isolated Storage, change some data, and then be able to extract that data back. So it really, really helps from a testing and really getting you going. Vibor is going to be showing that in more depth in the tool session, but this is a huge time sink that just goes away. And frankly, you should never have to write code and that you have to ship in your application that is just for getting test data into that. So this enables you to get at all your isolated storage on the phone, both reading and writing, be able to do with that. Everything else, essentially, I'm going to gloss over because we've shown all those things in the interest of time. Two things I do want to be able to talk about is the ability to take a screenshot. It's one of our, I think, yes, so screenshot from the emulator. I think today is a perfect example. My laptop is not 1080p. So how do I take a full screen screenshot in the emulator today? I can't do it. So this, you'll be able to take a screenshot, no matter what resolution you're running on, it will take the full resolution so you can get great screenshots that are going to go up to marketplace. And we have that new cool marketplace pivot for screenshots. So I think there's probably our, aside from database and sockets, I think it was like, what? Why don't we have screenshots? And the obvious question is, why don't we have screenshots on the device? I don't have an answer for that today. I'm personally pushing for that, but you know, being able to get screenshots in the emulator is, we felt, was a significant step forward for that. And then finally, ingestion tools. The ability for you to run the same ingestion tools that we do on your machines, that you can run it and hopefully find a lot of the problems before you ingest into us. And nobody wants to get that, you know, the email back from Marketplace, well, you failed because of these three things. It'd be really nice if you failed because of those three things on your machine before you did it. And you know, to be perfectly honest, it saves us a bunch of money too, but you know, this is really to give you the tools so that you can have a lot more confidence in submitting to us and hopefully increase the turnaround time for us to be able to get applications to you. So there's the tool stuff that we announced on stage. But we have a couple of things that are new that I'm going to announce today. So the first one is the Visual Studio Async CTP. So how many of you watched the PDC where Anders Halsberg stood up and said, well, here's the future of C#? So what we're announcing today is there's a CTP of the Visual Studio Async tools available for the phone. So you'll be able to write async code, and I'll explain that in a little bit, and actually run it on your phone. And it has a Go Live license, so you can do it with the obvious caveat, this is a CTP. It's not shipped, but if it works for you and you feel confident you want to be able to do it, then you will be able to go ahead and ship this on your phone using the tools that are available today. So what is asynchronous methods for the phone? What does that actually mean? I think really the key thing here is it makes asynchronous. I mean, who wants to do asynchronous programming? And it's not something that you kind of wake up in the morning and go, great, I have to do some async programming today. But, you know, asynchronous programming is absolutely what you want to be able to do to have a great app experience. But, you know, this essentially makes your asynchronous programming synchronous. So, and this is Anders' line, you really can have your cake and eat it. So, and I'll show you how you can have your cake and eat in a minute. But essentially, all you have to do is just add one statement to your program, and we do all the hard work for doing the async, all the delegates, and all the background processing, all the threading is done automatically for you. So you can go back to doing synchronous programming, which is so much easier to debug. So much, and frankly, you don't want to go write all that asynchronous programming, all that async delegate stuff. So we've done all that hard work for you. and do that all in the background. So we've made that available both for C# and VB, and that's available from today. And I'm going to skip through these slides and actually show you what that means. Laptop. So I'm just going to run this application first to show you what the application is. It's a pretty... As you can see, I have it's a pretty boring application. So all it does, it reads the Windows Phone blog RSS, and you know, I figured this would be a little bit a little bit more interesting than it actually turns out to be today. But let's take a look at what that means to do. So today, if I wanted to do that, I have to go do, you know, I have to load stuff from isolated storage, which I really have to do in an asynchronous manner. And two, then I want to go and make a web request to go get that RSS feed. I want to do it in the background. I want to do it asynchronously. I end up, even just for this simple application, I end up with some fairly significant spaghetti code. But let's have a look at, I'm just going to exit this. And set a breakpoint. So I'm just going to go through here and see. And this innocuous little word, await, so this, just by adding this to your, essentially makes your application synchronous. So if you think about this from isolated storage, I think everybody has this code in their application. So you're going to open a text file from your isolated storage. You're going to open the stream reader to do that. But then you have to do read to end async because, you know, flash memory is kind of slow and you don't want to mess up your application. So today I'd have to go create a delegate and work out, you know, how that's going to do. Now all I have to do is just have to say, okay, await, read to async. And what will happen is the async framework will build all the delegates, build all the asynchronous code behind the scenes for you, and then your application just becomes synchronous at that point. So, you know, it will just return, and then you get all the data without having, with all the advantages from the input threads and the background threading without having to do any of that plumbing. Now, clearly, if you want to go do all that plumbing, then you can. But this is a huge time sink, and frankly, it's a bug farm because it's understanding, well, did I get the delegate right? Did I really understand? Did I do the async right? So I do it also from from isolated storage, which everybody does. So I think this is advantage to everybody. But if I'm making a web request, so here I have a client class which has download string async, and I can just mark that thing as a task, and automatically, when I say await, it's just going to go off and synchronously do that async thing for me. So the great thing here is that, you know, for most of what you want to be able to do, you just have to put await in front of an async method, and your application becomes synchronous. It just vastly simplifies what you have to do. And there's not really any downside to this in terms of it's writing the code for you in the background and really, you know, optimizing that and doing all the delegates and doing it in an optimal fashion so that you can synchronize all that. So I'm not, you know, if you look at the async framework, at the PDC, I think they had 3-hour sessions with Anders Halsberg. I'm no Anders Halsberg, and I'm not going to attempt to do that, but this is available for download today, and I really recommend you take a look at this and start thinking about how it's going to make your applications easier to build. So So you can download it from the async from Visual Studio today, and, you know, because it's Anders, he's on Channel 9, and he gives you a 30-minute, this is exactly everything you wanted to know about async. Anders is a great presenter, you know, he's kind of the god of languages, so being able to understand that, and he does a way better job than I could ever even imagine to do. But, you know, from my perspective, just learning about this was like, okay, so I just have to put a wait, and I don't have to deal with delegates. Great, I can actually go now and build the stuff that's actually unique to my application, not all the plumbing. I don't want to spend all my life building all the plumbing code for that. I keep going backwards. So that's a major integration implementation technology available for you today, which is going to make it easier. But we also want to start hearing from you. So Mix is, you know, it's a, you know, it's a 72-hour conversation. That's great. And we get to, and RC Experts is after this. I highly recommend you come along to that. But we want to hear from you on a day-by-day basis. So we're announcing today the Windows Phone Developer Feedback app. So I'm sure that many of you are familiar with user voice. So we have a user voice forum available there, open to everybody. And clearly, you can go to a web browser and use user voice. And the goal is there, the product team, so people, my colleagues, will be posting questions, and you get to post questions too. And you know, we had some early design reviews with some MVPs and some key developers we've been working with, and we use this essentially as a beta test for this. It's like, okay, if we have to choose between feature A and B, and you could vote, what would you vote for? So can't guarantee that we'll definitely choose A or B, but it'll have a huge impact on our thinking about that. So you'll get votes to be able to go and vote what your application is and what it's doing. But to make it easier, it was like, clearly we're not all on the web browser, and frankly, we're, you know, we use our phones a lot. We have a Windows Phone 7 app that clearly should have been using our new ingestion tools, because it just failed ingestion today, but they guarantee they're going to fix it. So it's our developer feedback tool, and if I'm lucky. Okay, so here are the forums that are available, and I'll show you on the website in a minute. So the forums that we've created for today, so you can go and look at, you know, there's already some examples for, I can click on documentation, and then here's all the topic ideas. It's like, okay, well, you know, what about forum integration? How are our code samples? So you can go and comment, and these are questions that are coming direct from the guys who are writing our documentation. So think of this as a direct line into our engineering team, frankly, without having to email us all, which means we're monitoring this every day, and it gives you a way to feedback into the product and really tell us where you think we should be going. So, you know, we think this is a significant advantage, being able to understand, you know, from us to understand what you're doing, but also, you know, understand what are your peers doing. You know, is it, you know, That bugbear that you had with our development environment, well, it turns out, you know, 3,000 other people had the same thing. So, and to think of it as a forum for you to all discuss and really understand what it takes to develop for Windows Phone. But we want to take this one step further, is that we're big fans of user voice, but, you know, providing feedback on our stuff is great, and we're keen on that. But think about it from your application. It's like, what do your users think about your application? How do you get that information back? And it's, you know, as difficult, especially with phones, as like, who knows where they are? What are they doing? So, you know, there's some great stuff that we've done with Preemptive in terms of being able to do some analytics so you can actually understand where people are using your application. But what about actually getting some feedback into your application? So we're also announcing on Coplex today, we're providing a set of user voice classes to really make it really, really simple for you to build into your application. So the goal here is that you can build build user voice into your application in 4 lines of code. And I'm attempting to go and show you that right now. So two things. Whilst it's loading, I'm going to just show you the WP. So, oh, and I'm not. So here's the forum that is not working right now. Okay, well, we'll ignore that one. But so what I've done is I've created my, you know, silly little application. So just for this is it. How do you add user voice to you know, your Hello World application. So I've created a user voice. Now, the great thing about user voice, this is free. This is the free user voice application that is available there today. So, and it should have taken me somewhere else. I've got to sign in, that's why. It's. I was hoping that it would take me. Okay, so I signed up for this literally like last Thursday. It's free. They give you a certain amount free, but if you really want to go nuts, then you can pay to get more features. So Here I have letting in the background my. Now you're going to be amazed by my user interface skills here, because it's pretty impressive. So you know, I have the ubiquitous Hello World application, and I want to be able to add user voice. So all I've done is I have an app bar at the bottom, and then you know, when I click on it, then I'm just going to go show a whole bunch of forms. So over here, what I've done is I've synced with the Coplex Foundation server. I think it shows up over there. So there's a bunch of forms that make it just really simple for you to be able to build user voice into your application. And then essentially, there's only three lines of code that you have to add. So in my app XAML, then I have to get my API key. So here on user voice, they give me my API key. I can go off and just type this in here. Then they have some super secret squirrel stuff that I don't really understand what it does, but copy this in. And then you put in your subdomain. So mine one, stunningly enough, is clinic.uservoice.com. And hit F5 on that. Oh, and what I really need to do is comment this out. Hit F5. And I hope it's connecting. Deploying application. So what this is going to do is launch my Hello World application, I hope. And down in my app bar, now I have a plus on here, and I just need to log in because it's... If I actually read what was on my application, so... I hope it's going to work. So now what it's done is just by putting in the API key, that login is all done by the user voice class that is on there. I now have all the suggestions that I have for my particular application. So if you remember, if I go to clinic.uservoice.com, so here's the things that are available to me there, but it's available in the application. I can just tap on this guy, and I can say, well, look, you know, user voice is cool. Is that now I have the ability, and I come back over here, and I have the ability just with literally adding those three lines of code, building user voice into your application. The great thing here is that now you can start a conversation with your users. So the combination of this and the analytics from Preemptive really starts you to be able to build better applications to really understand what it takes to what your users actually want to be able to do. So we're combining both an application we're making available and a user voice so that you can talk to us. But you know, it's going to make it a lot easier for you to actually get information from your users. So to wrap it all up, so really, you know, what's the call to action for this week? So continue building and shipping on Windows Phone 7 now. I mean, there's some great stuff coming along in Mango, but you know, everything you build today is just going to work better in Mango. There's some things that you can do that are really going to. There's a lot of work we've done in the background to make that a lot better, and there's new things that are going to make that available. Mango will enable you to do much more deeper integrated phone experiences, and multitasking opens that up. And you know, the integration points are really, and you think about the way that people can deep link into your application from tiles and push notifications, is really going to enable your application to shine. And you know, the tools are coming along in May. Don't have an exact date yet. I guess we want to under-promise and overachieve in terms of delivering that, but you know, we're really confident the tools are going to make it available in May, so you'll be able to take advantage of those things. My final call to action is go into all the other sessions. Just to give you an idea of what's coming up, this is what's coming up today. So after RC Experts, which is kind of right now, Adina is going to be going through fast application switching in half an hour. The great thing about fast application switching is really, really easy to get into your application. Half an hour covers that. Vibor is going to be going into the developer tools. Istvan, who's our distinguished engineer who runs the developer side, the engineering on our team, is going to really go into a deep dive, really understanding how we built this and why our multitasking decisions make sense. Darren's then going to go into more detail about the actual multitasking and really, you know, remember back to my initial slide, that one slide, imagine that done in 30 slides, and really understanding what it takes to build an application that's going to take advantage of multitasking and not screw the user experience and battery. And then tomorrow, well, geez, there is just a whole bunch. Now, tomorrow you have to kind of make some choices. There's sensors, which is going to cover both camera and the motion sensor that we have available. That's on, first of all. Then we have, if you're a Silverlight guy, then Sean Oster is, you know, he's the guy in terms of really understanding what for Silverlight. So you do have to make a call tomorrow. The great thing, of course, all these things are going to be available online, so you'll be able to sit back and relax and watch that at home. Next up, Peter Tor is really, you know, really going to give you, this is a three slide, you know, thousands of lines of code, really understanding what it takes to build an application. Jeff Wilcox, you know, who's kind of a god in terms of building Silverlight applications. Forth and Mayer's his. I recommend if you're a Foursquare user, take a look at Forth and Mayer. He's really going to take you through what does it take to build great applications that work well. Brian Hudson's going to show you more, a whole bunch on the XNA side of things. Todd is going to talk to you about making some money on Windows Phone, right here, apparently. So, and then, you know, a key one that I'd really like to call out for tomorrow is understanding push notification and live tiles. So the combination of that and multitasking is really going to enable you to build great Mango applications. And then, you know, from a more designer perspective, we have some Blend stuff. And then data access kind of finishes up the whole day tomorrow in terms of really understanding both for how to access SQL CE, but also how to get to contacts and calendar on your application. So thanks for your time. Look forward to hearing from you at RC Experts, and have a great next.